it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Nice to have you aboard. It's a Wednesday afternoon at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And today, the Orioles and the Athletics in the rubber game of this three-game series. It's been 22 days now since the Orioles last won a series. That was against Kansas City. They swept them in a three-game series ending on August 1st. So it's been a while, and the Oriole bullpen today got a little bit stronger. Miguel Castro is back with the ball club. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Castro's back. He actually got back last night. Really appreciate us letting him go, not letting him. He's going to an MLB working with us on that one. Meant a lot to him. Very close to his family. I think sometimes we think that in America we're the only ones that are close to our families, you know? It's really poor reflection on us. Anyway, he's back. He's available to pitch. He's had, 3 days off? About what he would have gotten anyway.
Flaherty in right field?
Yep. Need to get him out there. Hadn't played since he's been back. Been looking for a spot for him with the day game. Off day tomorrow, if not. And we know he's got a pretty good track record in Boston. I really don't want him to go into that series without any plate appearances. JJ played 6 innings last night. Did well, felt good, a little better. I think the biggest thing with him is the same thing he goes through in the spring is getting his shoulder in shape. Not that it hurts or anything, it's just doesn't have that fluidity that he's looking for. So that's what's going to take the most time, I think.
Is that a tough error that they charge him with? It's
a routine pick by a first baseman. In fact, most guys, to get rid of the ball quickly, will miss down there intentionally because 95% of the time in the big leagues, they catch that ball.
Have you done any more thinking about the additions to the roster for next week?
Mm-hmm. Dan and I touched on it a little bit yesterday. I know he's kind of polling the AA and AAA managers about their recommendations. And I think I heard from him. We'll sit down next week when we get back and try to finalize it. We've got a shot at the playoffs. So, you know, you take all those things into consideration.
Are there a number of players down there you're eager to see or not?
There's a number of players down there I like. You know, it's got to fit in a lot of different ways. You know, one, they've got to serve a need up here, and then you try to bridge that gap between, you know, who might benefit by being here for a month and trying to get ahead of the curve a little bit from that adjustment period if we think they're going to be here next year. Haven't gotten that in depth yet. You know, one of the issues we will have is the roster. You know, JJ's coming off, that requires a roster spot. And I know there's at least a couple of guys we're considering that aren't on the roster currently.
And you don't generally like to get past 31 or 32, right?
I'd rather not. I think it's, you know, they put this rule in effect. Some people call it the Baltimore Oriole rule, that you can't send a guy down anymore to say on the 29th we sent Joe Schmo to Aberdeen because they're not going to the playoffs and their season's going to end on the 1st or 2nd, and then you can call them back right away. Well, now, if you send a guy down on the 30th, he's got to stay down 10 days, even if there's a team not playing. So my question is, where do they play? And who do we send the bill to for this camp? We have to open up so those guys have a place to play. We all know who foots that bill. I don't know. We have in the past. I don't see why not, but there might be a good reason not to. I don't know. Now, if we call 40 guys up here, we probably wouldn't. Though some of that stuff you have to be ready for, you know, if you make the playoffs.
Now, Ryan Flaherty has been back with the ball club now a couple of days. You saw him in a game the other day as a pinch runner. But today, Ryan Flaherty will make his first start for the Orioles since way back on May 18th. Now, on that occasion, he started at third base. Today, for the first time this season, he will start in right field. Flash is back. And he and Ben McDonald, they visited. And you're going to hear that conversation in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and the Athletics here, the old rubber game on this Wednesday afternoon. A very unusual starting time at 3:05. Come on down if you're in the neighborhood. We'll save a seat for you as they close out a three-game series. Orioles here trying to make it 2 out of 3. Now, in the lineup today is Ryan Flaherty, Flash. Today, his first start since way back on May 18th. Ryan Flaherty, one of the nicest of the Orioles, and he and Ben McDonald will visit when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Ben McDonald here on the Orioles Radio pregame show. Orioles lose last night, win game one of this series against Oakland. Game three today, the rubber game. Orioles could look to win the series. Dylan Bundy on the bump for the Orioles today. Matinee game, 3:05 Eastern time. Right now, sitting beside, they call him Flash, Ryan Flaherty, just back from the DL from a rehab assignment. It's been 3 months he spent on the DL. Ryan, good to have you back in an Oriole uniform for sure.
It's good to be back and, you know, be around the guys and, you know, just be back up here and, you know, trying to help this team.
Hey, you, speaking about being back, man, it's got to be tough. Anytime you're away from the guy, especially as long as you were, and I know you went down, what, for a 20-game rehab assignment, swung it pretty well in there, but it's still got to be tough when you get away from the guys a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those injuries that, you know, you think, you know, okay, I can get past this thing in 3 weeks, and it kind of lingers, and, you know, you're in Sarasota away from the team, and it's frustrating, you know, not to be able to be here, and, you know, and then all of a sudden it becomes, well, how long is it going to be?
Right.
And, you know, it's just, I'm, you know, glad it's behind me, and, you know, try to finish this season strong.
Yeah, because it started off as tendonitis. I guess that's what it was, but I don't know, going through shoulder stuff myself, that tendonitis can linger for a long time. And I was interesting. I saw a procedure that you had done, and look, you're a Vanderbilt guy. You're a lot smarter than me. I went to LSU, but I saw where you received a platelet-rich plasma injection. Exactly what is that? Because that wasn't around 25 years ago when I was playing.
You're asking the wrong guy. They told me it helped me, so I took it. I think it's, you know, it kind of helps mold the, I don't know if they're tendon, muscles, whatever's going on in there, but they kind of,
they actually take your own, they only take your own blood, right? And they spin it and they get, I guess, what, the plasma that's in the blood, and they inject it into the infected area or the area that you're having some weakness in to help, I guess it's a healing process is what it is.
Yeah, they take the blood out and they spin it, so I guess it, you know, creates oxygen. I may be completely wrong here, but something. They take the good blood and inject it into the area. And my area was a lat, so it was where the lat had a strain, and then try to help the healing process.
Right. All right, just changing gears a little bit. This weekend is Major League Baseball, why the MLB Players Weekend, I guess, where you can design your own jersey, have your nickname on the back of your jersey, your socks, maybe your own shoes. You're actually going home. You guys are headed to Fenway Park, kind of where you, I'm sure you grew up going to Fenway Park watching ball games. So you're kind of be back at home from MLB Players Weekend. That should be fun for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's exciting anytime, you know, to be back in New England. And, you know, I think the Players Weekend will be fun. I think, you know, I think it's, you know, used to try to bring excitement to the game and try to, you know, get the interest of little kids along with the Little League World Series going on at the same time, the timing of it. And, you know, they let you wear a patch and whatever. I'm going to wear my high school patch, which is kind of cool for me, you know, being from New England, and there's not many, you know, baseball players from New England, so, you know, to be back there and to play in it, it should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, and you're going to wear Flash on the back of your jersey. Now, I was reading somewhere you got that nickname around 12, 13 years old. Now, was that a speed thing, Flash?
It wasn't because I was fast, I can tell you that, but it's actually funny. They used to call me Flat. They used to call me Flats from Flaherty, and then one kid thought they were calling me Flash, and then my coach started calling it to me, and it's really stuck with me ever since. Everywhere I've gone, I went to college with a kid from Maine, and I got drafted by a kid from, went to college with, and then I came over here and played with Brian Mattis before, so it's just one of those nicknames that kind of stuck with you, and it's been my nickname.
That's pretty cool. All right, speaking of college now, you from Portland, Maine, from New England, from that area. How do you go from there in high school, where I saw where you were, led your high school team state championship in football as a quarterback? How do you go from there down to Vanderbilt, kind of down south a little bit? How do you end up down at Vandy with Coach Corbin?
Well, Well, he's a New England guy, so he recruits a lot in New England. And fortunately for me, he recruited that area and pays attention to the area. I think a lot of kids up there, you know, unless you go out and travel and play travel ball, you don't get seen by the scouts because there ain't many up there. And I played football in the fall, basketball in the winter, and really didn't play in a travel ball team. So fortunately for me, he recruits that area and pays attention to the area, and ended up going down there to Nashville. So it was a fun 3 years.
Yeah, good for you. Corb's a great guy. Of course, Vandy won their national title about 3 years ago, I guess, first one. And there's a lot more coming down at Vanderbilt because Corb's does an outstanding job. And finally closing it up, you mentioned briefly about the patch that you wear. I mean, most players have somebody or some organization that was instrumental to their development. And you said who's going to be on your patch that you're going to wear on your jersey?
One of them is my parents. You know, obviously, you know, they been there through everything with me. My dad being a coach, you know, really helped teach me the game. And then obviously my mom, you know, you can't replace those two people in your life. And the other one, my high school, obviously, you know, they gave me a great opportunity. And you're being back in New England, I think it'd be cool to honor them.
Well said, well said. There he is, Flash, back in uniform for the Orioles, utility player. Folks, he can play it all, play every infield position, and even got a little time on the bump last summer that I saw. Orioles game coming up 3:05 Eastern time. Thank you, Flash. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, that is Ben McDonald and Ryan Flaherty on the warm-up show. Orioles and the A's here today. Dylan Bundy trying to become a 13-game winner. Oriole baseball is next. Hello again, baseball fan. Joe Angel with Ben McDonald back at Camden Yards in the win column today. Ben McDonald, hey, it was a game they had to win, and they found a way, didn't they?
They found a way. Now the question is, can they continue the momentum? And, boy, it was a hard-fought game. It looked like it was going to be an easy one. It was going to be a laugher for about half the game. But, boy, it didn't turn out that way at all. And Oakland battled back. It was Manny Machado with the walk-off homer there at the end, just like he walked it off in game one of this homestand to win it.
Kind of chokes you up, doesn't it?
I'm all choked up.
How about Bundy? He was real good, wasn't he?
Bundy was good. He was impressive today. He really threw a lot of strikes today. And look, he was impressive, and I like the way he mixed up his breaking ball, works the change up. He struggled the first couple of innings. Not bad, but just it wasn't quite as sharp as he normally is. But, boy, he really got it going and hit a little bit of a wall there in the seventh inning and gave up a few. But, all in all, another outstanding outing for Bundy and a quality start. Gave the Orioles a chance to win.
Yeah, I think Miguel Castro today had his most meaningful major league appearance.
No doubt. He inherited a tough situation, able to work out of a couple of tough jams early the first couple of innings he was in there. And, look, he was outstanding, working 3 2/3, only one hit, not a run, one walk, 3 strikeouts. And I tell you what, that young man has a bright future, and look for him to be in that Oriole rotation next year, I believe.
I think so, too. And, hey, for Manny Machado, it wasn't the longest home run of his career. It wasn't the most majestic. But it was very timely, and it was deep enough, and Manny found a way too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, look, what he's doing in the second half of the season, you just don't see happen very often. And all of a sudden, the numbers, the add them all up for the season, it's an impressive. And he's starting to climb up that RBI list in the American League for sure. The homers are up. He's hitting grand slams. And, look, he continues to tear up the baseball. And when you talk about the top five for the Orioles, it is impressive. When you talk about Scope and Machado and, of course, Beckham, Jones, Mancini. Look, Chris Davis hits a home run today. Mark Trumbo is hopefully getting really close. And the two catchers, Wellington Castillo and, of course, Caleb Joseph, they continue to hit. So, again, I'm not tired of saying it because it's true, but this is going to hinge. These playoffs for the Orioles and whether they get in that wild card spot is strictly going to hinge on whether these starting pitchers can find a way to be a little bit more consistent and throw up some quality starts. Because if they do, I'm still saying the offense is good enough, and so is the bullpen to put the Orioles where they need to be.
Well, that was a big win, and a game that almost got away. And Zach Britton, we got to talk about that a little bit. Britton, the first time in almost 2 years, he blew a save. It almost sent us into shock.
Yeah. Well, you take it for granted because he's been so consistent for the better part of 2 years, and it's almost automatic when he comes in. Look, he saved 60 games in a row, which is just unheard of. You know, and like you said, probably you won't see anybody do that again. I mean, that's how good and how hard that is to do. And, look, just wasn't his day-to-day. That happens from time to time. The velocity was good. It wasn't because of the velocity, just the command that he normally has. Yeah. And the sink just wasn't there for him. And, look, give Oakland some credit, too. Look, those guys got down in some counts and was able to find the barrel of the bat and really get some stuff going off him. So he blows his first save in a long, long time. But, look, that's okay. He's still one of the best in the business, but the Orioles win it anyway. Not often you blow a save and still come back and win it, so that's a plus for the Orioles.
Hey, Ben, good work, man.
Man, I always look forward, Joe. My pleasure working with you and Tiny. It's always fun. I'll see you guys second weekend in Cleveland.
Yeah, Indians, your next series.
Yes, sir.
Outstanding work.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man. A lot of fun. Thank you. That's Ben McDonald. Bundy faced only three batters in the first inning, only three in the second, and only three in the third. And the 1-2 is a little breaking ball. Gets him looking. Strike three called. He absolutely froze Pinder. And Dylan Bundy with a 1-2-3 third. He punches out the side.
Yeah, that wasn't fair right there. Fastballs on the first two and then just locks up Pinder with a breaking ball. Nothing he can do but head back to that third base dugout.
That one could hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And Bundy has retired eight in a row.
Yep.
At that point, Bundy looking real good, but it was a nothing-nothing game until the bottom of the fourth inning. And then that's when the Orioles came up with a four spot. And with two aboard, it was Trey Mancini getting the big hit. Mancini fly ball into center. Backing up is Boog. Backing up way back there. Bay-bay, bye-bye. Mancini has boom-boomed with two aboard. That is a Weaver, and that's a 3-0 Oriole lead. There they go, Mancini with number 22, but not over yet. After a walk to Trumbull and a single by Castillo, hey, Ryan Flaherty came up. Flaherty today making his first start since May 18th, and he cashed in. So Flaherty with the count 3-2. Trumbull and Castillo will be on the move here. And there they go. Here comes the pitch. Line drive into center. That ball will land. That's a base hit. Here comes Trumbo. Here comes the throw. Much too late. And Trumbo has scored. And Ryan Flaherty, his first start since May 18th, a single, and he picks up an RBI. How about that? Bundy went to work with the lead. He got the three outs in the fourth. And, yeah, in the fifth inning, again, he faced only three batters.
Yeah,
Bundy right now, he's got it going on here.
Mm-hmm.
He's had the six strikeouts. He has yet to walk anybody. He delivers 1-2. Swing and a miss, another punch out. Another breaking ball to get a strikeout. He's got seven strikeouts. So at one time got nine straight. And now he's retired five straight. He's retired now 14 of his last 15 batters, has Dylan Bundy. Yeah, looking real good with a big lead at that point. Then came the sixth inning with two outs and the bases empty. Boog Powell, a base hit. And then Simeon, a double to pick up the RBI, the run against Bundy in that frame. Then in the bottom of the sixth inning, it began with a walk. That's when Gossett would leave the game. Chris Davis struck out, Trumbull a ground out. But then Castillo came up, and he gave the Orioles two more. Castillo drills it to left center. Well done, Wellington. Bye-bye, two-run home run. It landed on the left side of the Oriole bullpen over the State Farm sign in left center. Castillo, number 14, and it comes with a man aboard. It is now 6-1 Baltimore. So there you go. At that point, the way Bundy was pitching, it looked easy, but it's never easy in the major leagues. Bundy went to work in the seventh inning. Chris Davis, a double. Healy a single, and then Olsen came up to hit. And Bundy with the 0-2 pitch. Line drive, Scope cannot get to it. That's a base hit with the gap in right center. So Davis is in, Healy going to third. Adam Jones gets it back into second base. That's an RBI single. So it is now 6-2 Orioles, and Oakland's got first and third with nobody out. Yeah, that's when Michael Givens came out of the bullpen. He gave up an RBI single to Maxwell, but he was able to get that third out. And eventually, in the eighth inning, here come the Athletics again. Semien got a leadoff walk. And then Matt Joyce swung the bat. And there's a high fly ball, right field. And ball is gone. It's a home run. So Matt Joyce, his 19th home run, comes with a man aboard. A two-run home run to make it 6-5 in the eighth inning. My goodness. Yeah, but then there were two outs and the bases empty. And that's when Matt Olson again came up to hit. Richard Blyer came out of the bullpen, and he walked him. Exit Blyer and enter Brad Brock, who then walked Chapman. But then Maxwell came up to hit, and Brock made a pitch. Matt Olson, the would-be tying run, second base with two outs. Chapman, the would-be lead run, is at first base with two outs. Brock is ready. The 1-2 pitch. He struck him out swinging. Fastball at 98. And there's that elusive third out in the eighth inning.
How about Brad Brock comes in. He finds it the last three and reaches about for a little extra. And 98 right by Bruce Maxwell.
Yeah, so that kept it a one-run game. Then came the bottom of the eighth inning. After a couple of strikeouts, Chris Davis came up to hit, and he delivered what looked like an insurance run. There's a high drive to right center. The big fella, DJ, wave it bye-bye. He hits a solo. Well, it sounded like a home run. It looked like a home run. It is a home run. His 20th to make it a two-run game. It is now 7-5 in the eighth inning. Yep, 7-5. So that was an insurance run off the bat of Chris Davis. It gave Zach Britton a chance to get a save with a two-run lead as he went to work in the top of the ninth inning. He gave up a single to Jed Lowry to get the inning started. And then Powell would double. So runners on second and third. Marcus Semien a single to make it a one-run game and picked up an RBI. Matt Joyce came up to hit. And that's when, for Zach Britton, his streak ended. Lefty on lefty. Boog Powell, the base runner at third base, the tying run. Britton again ready, and he delivers 1-1 here. Fly ball to deep center. Backing up is Adam Jones. He's going to catch it. It'll tie the game. The ball back into second base. Here comes Boog, and Zach Britton now has a blown save. Yeah, first time in almost 2 years. After 60 consecutive saves, Zach Britton had a blown save opportunity at a tie game. And then Britton walked Chris Davis. Exit Britton, enter Miguel Castro, who then walked Ryan Healy. But then Olsen popped out, and then Chapman came up to hit, and Miguel Castro was very impressive. Castro, yeah, fans are getting into it here a little bit. Miguel takes a look. Chapman waits. Bases loaded, tie game, ninth inning, and here it comes. Breaking ball got him looking. How about that pitch? After a couple of fastballs, he threw him a breaking ball. Angel Hernandez put up the right arm. He caught the outside corner. A big strikeout, and the Orioles are still in it, Ben. Indeed, we're still in it. Well, nothing going on until the extra innings. Now, Miguel Castro began the 10th inning by giving up a leadoff double. But then he got Lowry on a ground out. He got Powell on a ground out. And Semien came up to hit. And again, Castro just didn't budge. Castro takes a look. The slender right-hander. He delivers. Swing and a miss. He got his man. Another big Castro strikeout. And he survives. He escapes again. Yeah, he did. They had the lead run, second base, nobody out, but Castro would not allow that run to score. Eventually, against Simon Castro, the Oakland right-hander, Orioles could get nothing done until the bottom of the 12th inning, when Manny Machado came up as the leadoff hitter. Yeah, the 1-1 delivery. Manny sends a fly ball. Hit to deep left field. Way back there. Manny Machado. Pave it bye-bye. He ends it. Manny Machado with a walk-off. In the bottom of the 12th inning, he has turned out the lights at Camden Yards. Manny Machado wasting no time. And the other day, he won a game with a grand slam, and today he wins it with a solo. Orioles in the win column, and they win the series. Yeah, they won a series. How about that? They take two out of three. Yeah, Manny Machado began the homestand with a walk-off grand slam, and he ends the homestand here with a walk-off solo in the 12th. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this. And the 1-1 delivery, Manny sends a fly ball, hit to deep left field, way back there. Manny Machado, pave it bye-bye. He ends it. Manny Machado with a walk-off in the bottom of the 12th inning. He has turned out the lights at Camden Yards. Manny Machado wasting no time. And the other day, he won a game with a grand slam, and today he wins it with a solo. Orioles in the win column, and they win the series. Yeah, and Manny Machado en masse in the walk-off hero.
Manny Machado, nice enough to join us. And Manny, congratulations. This was certainly one of those games. You guys had to persevere, and you didn't back down, and somehow you got it out.
Yeah, great win for us. You know, we came back, thought we had it early on. They, you know, they're a team that they're going to keep fighting like us, you know, and, you know, we came out with the victory today, and we kept fighting to that last out, and, you know, gave us the opportunity to come out with the win today.
Dylan Bundy, a great performance for you guys. I think really lifting you up, but it was Castro on the back end, I think, even more important. Once again, eating up some innings and coming up big for you.
It was huge. You know, he kept us in the game. You know, he came in the ninth and, you know, held them down with bases loaded there and then came up and, you know, kept pitching strikes and, you know, getting outs and, you know, gave us the opportunity to come out here every inning. For the last two, we had the opportunities to win it earlier on, but, you know, fortunate we didn't, but we came back and we kept fighting.
And here comes Mr. Jones.
Come on, man.
Now, see how nice Adam is? Oh, there's Scopey getting him as well. Adam's protecting the mass and equipment there, as he told us the other night. How about that? A double pie. And I think Manny will enjoy that, the double pie after a walk-off home run.
I thought it was supposed to be just one.
Well, you know, Scopey's going to join the fun. He has to have the fun.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Now, Manny, in the first game of this homestand, you walked it off with the grand slam, and here you walk it off today. Tell us your mindset when you know a long ball can win the game. What are you thinking as you go up there?
Well, the last two innings, last three innings of the game, I think all of us were trying to get too big and trying to go deep and try to walk it off. You know, in those situations, you're just trying to, you know, get on base on however you want, try to put a good swing. That's all it takes is one good swing to, you know, get the team going, get the inning rolling. And, you know, sometimes we get lucky like that one, you know, 365 feet, which is, you know, going to do the job as well.
But your mindset coming up into that last at bat, what were you thinking when you stepped in there?
Well, I was just trying to get on base on whatever I can. Obviously, you started off with a good slider, and then, you know, I was just trying to see something up, you know, not chase anything down low and, you know, get some weak contact, you know, just trying to see something up, trying to drive it somewhere.
Hey, Manny, finally, the team needed this win. You couldn't let this one get away, and somehow you got it done.
Definitely. You know, we needed this win, and, you know, it's going to take this, you know, to this tough road trip that we have ahead of us in Boston, and hopefully we could carry this on to the next one and, you know, get at least, you know, win the series out there.
All right. Well, Manny, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations. Enjoy your day off.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, there he is, Mr. Walkoff, Manny Machado, the Masson postgame show after the game, and his heroics with that game-ending home run in the bottom of the 12th inning. Apparently, the Orioles are announcing that Zach Britton tomorrow will undergo an MRI on his knee, which could explain why he struggled here in this game, blowing a save, first time in 61 opportunities. Well, Buck Showalter, after the game, these are his comments.
First of all, just how nice is it to get the series win after all this?
Yeah, it was a hard-fought game. I knew it was, you know, these day games like this, it's a challenge. And, you know, Dylan was real good. Miguel was real good. And, you know, Mike got us out of a jam in that seventh inning. And, you know, a lot of little things. You can go back and dissect that game forever, but bottom line is we scored one more than they did and same number of innings.
But Zach's been perfect for so long, and he just didn't have it tonight. How surprising was it for you to see that?
No, it's a reminder how hard it is to do. I just called him in my office and congratulated him. You won't see it again. And he does hold the record in my mind, okay? And it's historical. That's as good as you'll ever see in any of our lifetimes. It's special, and it's been an honor to watch him do it. And I think days like today and the skill level of the teams that he's facing, it's unbelievable to dominate in a role like that. It just doesn't happen.
It's been so rare, not only that this has happened, but you rarely have to go out there and take him out in the middle of an inning.
Right. This is another reminder how great he's been and will be again. Just, you know, there's a part of me kind of glad he's got it behind him and we won the game. You know, because that's a heck of a thing to have to live up to every time you cock your arm. And he's special. And like I said, it's been an honor to watch him pitch and I get to keep doing it. But, you know, we did a lot of things at 7th, 8th, and 9th inning that, you know, not conducive to holding a lead.
How important have the innings that Castro has given you, not just tonight, but, you know, the past, you know, few weeks, past week or something?
Yeah, it's allowed us to stay on our feet, you know, whether we're going to have to make a pitching move now or not, because, you know, obviously he provides some length for us. But, you know, we had two or three walks that we can't do, and we normally don't, but we did today.
Caleb takes that foul ball off the mask in the 12th. You're Caleb? Thinking, yeah, mm-hmm. Who's the emergency
pardon?
Catcher in that situation?
I heard him telling somebody, Angel asked him how he was, and he says, I don't have a choice. I got to be okay. No, we had a guy ready to catch. Obviously, Flaherty was out of the game. We got a guy on the team that's caught a lot. When he was 12 and 13, 14. You know, it's just some of the challenges you have with our bench the way it is right now.
Was there any thought with Zach in the eighth with a couple left-handed hitters coming up for them to try and get the four-out save, or you wanted him just in that?
No, he's pitched two or three out of six. I guess you got to ask this question because you must get asked about it a lot. So, no. And he's got some other things that he's a little dealing with that I'm trying to stay away from that, you know, people don't broadcast, but there's a lot of things we know that people don't know.
How important is the extra rest for Dylan Bundy?
I tell you, some people go the other direction. He seems to, you know, I think I'm really hoping and thinking, you know, with Wade yesterday that our guys respond pretty well to it. And I'm hoping that's going to be the case now because we got some people pitching now on extra rest. I just don't think they get that much out of whack when they pitch, you know, into July. You know, I think it's something early in the season you don't like. But and then again, I get to see all the work Dylan does between those appearances. And I mean, he's a guy that was in a pretty good groove today for a guy that hadn't pitched in, 9 or 10 days. But that's but you got to be willing to do the work in between to be ready. And I don't know. I don't think Dylan type of guy puts any more pressure on himself when he's not pitching as frequently as he was. But pretty proud of him today. That was pretty impressive in a time of need. I wish we could have got him a W out of it.
All right, good. So that is the Skipper Buck Show, Walter. Yeah, Zach Britton blowing a save opportunity. So there's American League record is a done deal. And the word out of the clubhouse after the game today was that Britton tomorrow will undergo an MRI on his left knee. So we'll keep you posted.